Addie.
Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait. A what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real? Just to be clear, you're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right, the little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month 3. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Here I Chicago!
Woo! Three titles in 6 years. Yes, it is worth cheering for.
Alex DeBrincat got to the forehand. Alex DeBrincat. Oh, Leonard!
Welcome to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton. Coming to you from a night where hockey actually looks like it's starting to peak from the horizon and it might actually be arriving at some point. I think I've got my hopes up higher. Well, I shouldn't say too high, but they're definitely up more than they've been at any point in the last couple of months. And with me tonight, my two usual line mates who probably have a similar feeling about maybe having something to talk about other than the Last Dance documentary on these here airwaves. First off, it's the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. It is Shepard Price.
Hi. I somehow made the playoffs and the Buffalo Sabres didn't.
Well, all three of our listeners from Buffalo will be really, really offended by that.
Shout out to them, though.
They
watch hockey more than anybody.
That's true. I don't know if we actually have any listeners from Buffalo, but that is definitely like every time they would have the ratings of some random game on NBC Sports Network, like the ratings would be the two teams involved at the top, and then third was always Buffalo. That area loves hockey more than probably just about any other portion of the United States.
So you said Buffalo made the podium?
What? Huh? Oh, bronze? They get the bronze medal? Yeah.
There you go.
That seems right for their market. They are a podium market.
And you just heard his voice a little bit, but also with us tonight, it's, you know him now. It's Brandon Kane.
Hey, I normally would have some clever thing to say, but I can't top what Shepard did.
I should have introduced you as he has not made the playoffs, unlike the 2014 format the NHL did, which it's, well, I don't know. Is it playoffs? Is it a play-in round? Potato, potato, gold jacket, green jacket? Who gives a shit?
Right, sorry, it's more hockey.
Yeah, we'll come back to that later. I haven't even considered I'm still digesting all of that because the news came out yesterday. I don't know, it felt like when we were talking about it last week, they were discussing that playoff format, it didn't feel real. Like, I couldn't process in my head that this is actually what they're going to do and that the 2019-2020 Chicago Blackhawks are still a thing. They're not completely – we're not done with them. I thought for sure – we were done with those Blackhawks because I thought whatever the NHL was going to come up with wasn't going to include them. But now that it has, as we'll discuss later, it's not so bad. I don't mind it. Obviously, I'm biased, though, because this format includes my team. But it's kind of weird that we're coming to you here on the final Wednesday night in May, and unlike the last 5 weeks of shows, we don't have a Last Dance documentary to discuss. So I don't even know where to go with our opening tangent. Did you guys watch the Lance Armstrong one last week?
Nope.
No, me neither.
Fuck.
Yeah, I just saw – that was all I saw was the meme of Lance Armstrong yelling, fuck you, and flipping the bird to the camera wholeheartedly, which I have no Lance Armstrong takes. I really don't. I mean, I wore a Livestrong bracelet in high school, but that's more because everybody in America was wearing them for a while. And then it turned out that he was cheating, and I guess that's, you know, bad, but he also had cancer. So if anybody's allowed to cheat a little bit, I guess it's a guy that had to deal with everything he did. He seems like he might be kind of an asshole. I don't know. I feel like the reputation that Lance Armstrong has, similar to Michael Jordan, is that he's not the friendliest person or teammate to be around.
I think you could say that about most elite athletes. Though,
yeah, I mean, it's,
you got to be a dick a little bit.
Yeah,
there is an element of that. Like, I don't think it has to be a hard fast rule that to be that good you have to be not, you know, not affable as a human being, but oh, maybe it is a little bit true. See what happens when there's no Michael Jordan stuff for us to talk about. I haven't really watched any of the Blackhawks classics that have been airing on NBC Sports Chicago last week because I don't think I can do any more classic Blackhawks games. I tried to do a few of the classic White Sox games. Those didn't work. I think I've gotten all of my classic – I think I've gotten my fill of classic sports in general, and I don't know. It still seems like we're a ways off from getting our new sports back, but I don't know. Have you guys been following any of these classic series that they've been airing?
You mean like the 2013
run? Well, just any classic sports in general. Maybe you're watching classic curling or classic team handball from the Olympics. I don't know.
No, I have not been watching classics.
I'm going to take that deafening silence as a no.
No, I haven't watched sports since the last time the Blackhawks played hockey.
Brandon, what about you?
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I've watched the 2013 rewind with the series against Detroit. I didn't watch the Minnesota series. And I watched a little bit of game one against LA. I don't really have any other takeaways aside from like, oh, well, that's what a defensive team looks like. And I've had my fair share of old college football bowl games where I've watched maybe like the last 8 minutes of a game and been like, oh, that's why that's on, because it got entertaining at the end. Because the slog of the second and the third quarter in college football games just kills me.
Now, Shepard, I don't remember if you're as big of a soccer guy as Brandon and I can be. Are you into the footy at all?
I am, but I'm not EPL or anything like that. I am very fervent when it comes to the World Cup. I am very fervent Netherlands.
Okay.
I being Dutch myself, I root for the Orange.
Okay, I thought maybe you just had a big Ruud van Nistelrooy fandom for some reason.
Arjen Robben.
Oh, yeah, Robin van Persie. He scores when he wants. Robin.
Not van Persie, Robin. R-O-B-B-E-N.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Why did I say – I don't know why I went to Robin van Persie. He's Dutch, though, too, right?
Yeah, I said RVB. Yeah,
Brandon said it. Brandon put it in my head. Sorry.
Anybody with Van in there.
Wait, Robin's the guy I learned to hate in the 2016 World Cup because he was the epitome of the excessive flopping that everybody from the Netherlands did in that World
Cup. How dare you?
Now we're getting somewhere.
But I am also I root for their team in the class under the EPL called the Championship, and their name is Queen's Park Rangers.
Oh, okay. They were in the Premier League recently, right?
For a bit. They were like up and down.
I actually, one of the things I've been doing in quarantine is I watched the Sunderland Till I Die season 2 that came out, which was phenomenal on Netflix. Watch it if you're at all interested in soccer, or even if you're not, because it's more than just the sport itself. But I decided to take Sunderland from League One all the way back to the Premier League, and it's been a lot of fun. It's given me something to do in the middle of all of this. But the reason I brought up the soccer thing is because I watched Bundesliga the last 2 weekends, especially last weekend, because there was a few games featuring hopefully featuring some American players who ended up not playing. Like I think Gio Reyna was one of them was supposed to play, but he got hurt in pregame or whatever. So I was watching for that reason, but then I hung around just to see, you know, what was going on and what it was like. And it felt less weird than I was initially expecting it to be, especially, and I don't remember which two teams it was, but there was a game where they were pumping in crowd noise and some other things that kind of made it feel more authentic and more, I guess, normal, quote unquote. And I didn't mind it. I thought I would really, I thought the whole lack of fans and lack of authentic crowd noise would bother me, but they, you know, they pumped some in on the speakers and it wasn't bad. I was more entertained than I thought I was going to be. And it's kind of given me some optimism that, you know, the Premier League is supposed to come back next month. The NHL might be coming back. Baseball might be coming back. When all these other things come back, even if there's not fans in the crowd, it might actually like hold some, it might not feel as weird as I've been worried it's going to feel.
I think it works as far as like pumping in crowd noise for soccer, just because that's such an integral part of it. You don't really have like the sounds of the game, quote unquote,
right,
as you do with like baseball and hockey. So I know the first match that I watched was a Dortmund match and they didn't pump in the sound. And that was weird just because it's, I think part of it is because it's Dortmund and they're so known for their yellow wall of their supporters.
Right.
And just seeing that stadium empty, I was like, ooh, this is weird. And even the players after they beat the crap out of whoever they did.
Because that's what Dortmund does.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of, well, they're good too, but it's Bayern, the team that's just destroying everything in their path in that league.
Yeah. So they, after the match, they did like their celebratory jump together toward the yellow wall and it was just empty. It's like a nice gesture, but it just like reinforced like, this is very strange.
And there was another team, and I can't remember the name of it. It's not Borussia Dortmund. It's Borussia something that starts with
an Mönchengladbach.
Gazoon tight. But yeah, those guys. They were the ones that had cardboard cut out of fans in like one section of the stadium. And as I saw it, and like from when they show it like down at the angles from field level, it kind of looks like there's actual people in the crowd. Like it looks pretty neat. But then when they're showing it like from the overhead broadcast angle, and you can tell it's cardboard cutouts, it looks very like 2003 video sports video game crowd, like just very boxy and weird. And then you can see all the seats and everything underneath. So it's a fantastic effort. It was a brilliant idea. I kind of hope some American leagues adopt it if we don't are not able to get fans into the seats here, because it's a way they can generate revenue. You can have people involved. It was a cool idea, but it's not. It certainly has its flaws, especially in high definition. You can usually tell pretty well that, yeah, those are cardboard cutouts, not actual people. But, you know, hey, can't blame them for trying. And who said we weren't going to have anything to talk about with the Michael Jordan documentary over? Come on. That was me. I said that. But anyway, on to actual hockey. What was that sound?
Oh, I'm outside on my patio.
Oh, question. Do you call them lightning bugs or fireflies?
Fireflies.
Dave?
Lightning bugs.
Lightning bugs.
Shepard, how do you call them fireflies? You grew up in Naperville.
Yeah.
Brandon's not that far from you where he is, and I'm in Northwest Indiana. I'm not that far either. We're all in the Chicagoland area.
Well, I called them lightning bugs growing up, but then the song got stuck in my head.
Oh, God.
I don't really have a comment either way on that.
Man.
So just going to let that hang in there.
I actually, every time when you said fireflies, I was thinking of the Owl City song for, was that like 2004? But yeah. That didn't make me change my lexicon.
I was in fourth grade. I was very easily influenced at the time.
It was a childhood bop for you?
Yes.
This is already one of the best episodes we've ever had. We learned. I didn't realize you were such a big Owl City guy.
Not anymore, but like around the time.
Oh, they got to mainstream for you. No,
I like that. I like that. I like that pop rock sound.
Name their first three albums.
I cannot, because I'm no longer a fan.
Did Owl City have three albums?
I think they're at maybe.
And first of all, is it just the one guy? Like, I remember the music video was just him playing the piano.
I think that they're one of those bands that like very much promotes the front man and then not really anybody else.
It's like one guy and then touring artists.
I don't think it's that Panic at the Disco levels yet.
Okay. There's more than one album. I'm actually, so on Spotify, how many times do you think Fireflies has been played?
A billion times.
Close. Well, I should. You're 400 million.
Okay.
So
Jesus.
But there's a lot of music on here, and Fireflies actually came out on an album in 2009. So I was a little early on that. Couldn't have been in fourth grade. You had to be a little older in 2009, right?
Ninth grade.
Thank you, because I was like approaching the end of college.
I did not have a taste in music, let me tell you, until college.
There's nothing wrong. I mean, if you like Owl City, you like Owl City. It's a catchy song. I could probably sing 90% of it right now.
Don't.
Because it's like three lines. I don't know. Anyway, enough Owl City talk for one podcast.
Yes.
So to the actual hockey news we do have hockey news. And it's confirmed. We talked about this a little bit last week, and as I mentioned at the top, it didn't seem real to me until the news on Monday came out it was on Tuesday. The weeks, I have no idea what day of the week it is. I was already thrown off entirely, and then we had a holiday weekend. I it could be Sunday for all I know right now, but it's actually Wednesday night. Anyway, the reason I brought up days of the week is because on Tuesday, the Blackhawks have been included in this 2014 playoff format that they are going to use to bring back hockey at some point. It seems like late July is a rough target. But anyway, the NHL, the 2019-2020 regular season is over. This return-to-play format is going to kick off, like I said, maybe late June. There's some other steps along the way that they've been discussing. It looks like, I think, the first week of June, they're going to allow small groups of players to return to team facilities. They're targeting, I think July 1st was going to be the opening of training camp for teams. And then sometime later in the month of July, they haven't really set a date yet. They're going to have a qualifying round. It's a total of 12 teams in each conference. The top four teams are going to play a round robin tournament to determine the top four seeds. And then the 5-12 seeds are going to play a five game series, and the winner of those four series will go into the quote unquote playoffs. So if you really want to nitpick, the Blackhawks are in a play in round. They're not a play off team yet, but then also the 5 seed Edmonton Oilers are also not a playoff team. So I don't know, pick your poison with that. And then the other logistic thing about that is they're going to set this up with, they're going to have two hub cities hosting these tournaments, one for each conference. 10 cities are on the list right now. Chicago is one of them. The others, as I'm reading the article Brandon had at our website, it's Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Apparently Columbus and Las Vegas are considered the favorites. And that's all the news we got for now. Shepherd Price, we already talked about the playoff format last week, so I just want to kind of get your thoughts, just like the logistics of it with the hub cities and everything, and just the fact that there's actually a plan in place for us to have some hockey potentially again in a couple of months. What's your thinking? What's your feeling right now?
I think, as you'll go into a little bit later, or one of you two will, it's having a plan and being first out of the gate is wild for the NHL to do. They're not usually the league that does that. I thought they were going to wait for the NBA to make a course of action and follow that, because that's what they usually do. It's great to have more hockey, because that's ultimately what it is. I think they're doing the best they can while doing something like playing hockey to make sure the players are healthy. They're going to test, like, I think every night or around that. They're going to isolate them in cities where they can get takeout easily. They can easily postmate really good food in Toronto or Columbus, because those are college towns, and college towns usually have better food. Don't at me. I think they're doing as best as they can. to make sure that the players are going to be safe. And I think, again, they ultimately want to play more hockey. And I really like the fact that the play-in teams that lose in the first round will still be in the playoff lottery. It will still be in the draft lottery.
Yeah, and Brandon, we might have to have you explain the draft lottery thing, because I'm not even sure I understand exactly how that works. I mean, the overall consensus is that the Detroit Red Wings are obviously in the driver's seat with the highest odds, as they should be, because they were goddamn terrible this season. But maybe later on we'll have you explain exactly how that works, because there's like multiple rounds of it and there's a lot going on there. But just before we get into that, though, Brandon, I was going to ask you the same thing as Shepard, of just overall thoughts, feelings, opinions, and what have you about the logistics of what the NHL announced on Tuesday.
Yeah, so my initial thought was obviously that this had already been kind of reported on and people knew about it, and it was just, okay, so they're going to finalize it, whatever. And then people still had, like, backlash from it. I was like, you guys knew about this like days ago. Like, what are you griping about? Like, didn't you already do that? Like, you're just repeating the same crap. So I was confused about that. I was like, come on. And then people are like head spinning about the draft lottery process, which I understand, because I'm not sure I even fully understand it.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't alone.
No, not alone at all. And then as far as like the logistical side of it, I think it does make sense to have a hub city for each conference and have them play it out. And this is all a matter of like the format is in place, but there's no timeline for things right now, like concrete. Right. So it could be to a point where they play down to the conference finals, and then wherever the team is, then they're able to actually like play in their own arena. So then they like disband from the hub city process, but I still think that no fans would be in the building.
I didn't even consider that as a possibility, but yeah, I guess that it wasn't ruled out necessarily.
Yeah.
So
but that's the thing. Like, things are stated as these are happening, but then there's a whole slew of things that could happen because they weren't ruled out.
It kind of reminds me, and with the states we occupy, I think probably a lot of our listeners occupy, is that it'll sound very familiar. It reminds me a lot of the way the phased reopening plans that came out in the states of Indiana and Illinois, and actually it was like that Midwest coalition of states, all the governors got together and released plans that were very similar. Like, that's kind of the way the NHL's plan reminds me of that, and where it's like, you know, here's what we want to do. Here are tentative dates where we think they might be possible, but we're not going to set anything in stone because we have no idea what the hell is going on because we've never done this before. So from that perspective, I like it. I think the hub city thing's a good idea. As far as the cities go, I want to go back to that list. Like, Vegas seems like, from a like housing perspective, they have a zillion high-class hotels, and although like they only have the one rink, I believe.
They have a practice facility.
Well, I mean, okay, they have a practice facility too. Like, that's one thing. Like, they were talking about these multiple rinks, like playing at practice facilities. I know there's not going to be fans in the crowd, but like, if they play, like, say they come to Chicago, they play some games at the United Center, and they play other games at like the
Hoffman Estates.
Well, Hoffman Estates is even an arena, at least. But if they play at like the fifth, third practice facility where there's there's a concession stand outside the door just for like people to walk up to. Like, it's not a NHL arena by any standards. It's not even like an ECHL arena. It's very much a practice rink. I don't know if that's going to affect – I wonder if that would have any sort of effect on the players, because I just feel like playing in a tiny little rink like that, I don't know if that makes a difference or not.
I think it's got to be a regulation rink, right?
Yeah, I would think it would have to be at the United Center or potentially in Rosemont at Allstate.
Yeah, well, I mean, or the one at Hoffman Estates is pretty – I mean, they could, if they really wanted to, I guess they could even go up to Rockford.
Well, that ice is gone, but yeah.
Well, they could report. The ice was gone at the United Center for quite a while. I believe they've stopped using it as the food depository.
Yeah, they've shipped all that out, so there's no more soup at the UC.
now there's just an empty spot where the ice used to be that they might have to re-pour. But some of the other cities, I mean, Columbus is probably good. Like, I think it's more of a climate thing. Like Dallas in July, not going to be very conducive to ice.
Las Vegas in July is going to be horrible for ice conditions.
I mean, it's a dry heat, but it's still 120 degrees. So, Los
Same
Angeles.
With LA.
I don't think LA gets. I don't know LA's climate. I feel like isn't LA like it's a lower level. So there's something about LA where it doesn't get up to 90 degrees. It stays
LA's like 90s in the summer though.
Okay, I honestly don't know the climate of California that well. So forgive me. Minneapolis, St. Paul. That kind of gets humid like the Chicagoland area does, although Minneapolis is having completely separate issues right now, not even related to the coronavirus. Pittsburgh, probably similar to Chicago heat-wise. Toronto might be a little – well, no, it's about the same north-south as Chicago. So, and Vancouver just seems so far away.
It really does.
Like it's way the hell out there. So, I don't know.
Edmonton has like this whole package where they're like, hey, like we have all these hotels and we'll close off golf courses for you guys. And I was like, man, if I'm in this like quote playoff thing, I don't want to be like, yeah, let's go hit up the links for one day. Like probably not on my list of to-do list things.
Work for Jordan. Just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
But that would be an interesting side of it. It becomes like the World Cup or the Olympics where cities start trying to bid for this. Like, I don't know if it's going to be an economic boon for any of these cities. I mean, like, I'm sure the hotels will make money and maybe you get some good deals on Grubhub or Postmates like Shepard was talking about, but I don't know if there's going to be a heightened motivation for any city to host these playoffs because a lot of the revenue that you would generate in other situations, you're not going to get because you're not going to have fans around.
Yeah, I think all of these cities except for Edmonton and Minneapolis have hosted some sort of league event in the past 3 years.
Well, there you go.
So maybe Columbus is on that too. Like as far as like draft, All-Star weekend, World Cup.
Columbus has had an All-Star game recently.
Yeah, I believe so.
Like one where there was like 8 Blackhawks.
Well, you have to be more specific.
That's like anywhere from 2010 to 2015.
Columbus had the All-Star game in 2015. So, all right, that's outside of the time frame that Brandon referenced. But
yeah, but there's – I mean, in that, you know, 5-year span, I guess it would be. But whether it be – Stanley Cup final, All-Star weekend, something like that. So
NHL awards.
Yeah, so the NHL knows that those cities can handle a situation that could be seen as a logistical nightmare for some other places.
Yeah.
So they have confidence in these places.
Yeah, it should be interesting to watch. Like I'm surprised that the NHL was first because like we were discussing earlier, the NHL never seems to be first in things like this. But not only that, but it seems like the NHL has the biggest logistical burden because they have the most players. They probably have the most people to deal with. Baseball probably gets pretty close because they're roster.
NFL. Here.
Well, okay. But the NFL is separate because it's a fall sport, so they don't have an issue yet. I was trying to keep it to basketball, baseball, and hockey. And yeah. I guess we could throw the MLS in there if we wanted to, but even they don't have as many people to deal with as hockey. I'm surprised that basketball hasn't had something come out sooner because, again, very forward-thinking league, it seems, and they don't have as deep of a roster to keep track of. And, you know, there was talk that they were going to throw everybody in Disney World, which seemed like a really kind of clever idea and a good way to use Disney World while – people can't be there, but I was watching Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt last night. He had Adrian Wojnarowski on, and apparently that idea is kind of falling apart. And Major League Baseball, I don't know what the fuck those guys are doing. It seems like they're intent on building as much bad press as they did with the strike in 1994 and doing it during a worldwide pandemic. And I entirely blame the owners. I'm totally on the side of the players. It's complete bullshit, like that they're asking Mike Trout to take a 70% pay cut and like for a 70% pay cut for 50% of the games. And it just, I can't believe that they're trying to make money an issue right now. I cannot believe – well, I can believe it, but it's just – it's so frustrating and mind-boggling. I could be watching Yoan Moncada and Louis Robert hitting home runs every other inning, and instead I have to watch Jeff Passan go on SportsCenter and talk about how greedy owners are in baseball, and it's infuriating.
I think the thing with the NHL that they came out first with this, it almost kind of like puts the NBA in a holding pattern where it's like, you either have to do what they do or come up with something better.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It does serve notice to, well, I guess basketball is the only other winter sport that needs to do something, but I think it does like turn everyone, like it's like when like there's the room with the three commissioners, Bettman stands up to speak, he sits down, and now everybody's looking at Adam Silver saying, all right, what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
But yeah, I still watching the news that's trickled out about all the baseball stuff, that's I'm so disappointed in what is happening with baseball, and it also makes me glad that I don't feel the way about baseball that I do about hockey and I guess football too. But I would be losing my shit if I was a hardcore diehard baseball fan right now. I mean, Shepard, I know you and I have lamented our inability to watch what we hoped was going to be a White Sox World Series run this year. Have you seen this news? Has this pissed you off? It's starting to piss me off more than I realize now that I'm talking about it.
I mean, wage cuts have happened in every sport. The 76ers led the charge with the NBA, and the NHL has done it across the league sort of now. But to do it to this extent, like, you're right, 70% cut for 50% of the games is insane for the top level.
And they'd agreed to something at the start of all of this, and now they're trying to take more money away, and it's just
it would have been nice if it was a 69% cut.
Fuck off. I'm always on the side of the players when it comes to lockouts.
Pro labor all day.
I always will be. Even when it's millionaires versus billionaires, you take the side of the millionaires.
And I'm glad you said that, because I think the overwhelming majority of the time, and this is not understood by enough sports fans, the guys are not millionaires. The guys that get affected by this are the guys that are at the very bottom of the roster who are making thousands and lots of thousands, yeah, but have zero job security and probably aren't going to get all that money because they're going to get cut or released or whatever.
Right. It's like the left-handed specialist relief pitcher.
Yeah. Whose job is tenuous at best.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm glad we had that baseball tangent in the middle of this hockey and basketball podcast that we usually have. So we're covering all our bases here. But when we come back, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this playoff format, and I guess we're going to get into a discussion around something I wrote earlier today where I can talk about a certain group of people who kind of annoyed me in the last 24 hours. So we'll talk about that right on the other side of this timeout.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And as promised before the break, Shepard, Brandon, if you'll allow me a brief moment here, I have a bone to pick with. I know these people are out there. I've seen them on Twitter. I've seen them on Facebook, which isn't a good sample because those places can be pretty terrible at times. But I know there's people out there that are looking at this 2014 format and saying, why are the Blackhawks there? Why are the Canadians there? Why aren't the Buffalo Sabres there? I guess those are the three listeners in Buffalo are probably saying that. But I've been so annoyed by this in the last 24 hours. Why are we complaining about how the NHL decided to bring hockey back in the middle of a pandemic? Can one of you guys explain that to me? I don't really give a shit what you call it. Call it the playoffs. Don't call it the playoffs. Hang an asterisk by it or not. Whatever gives you fancy. Why is this an important? Why is this something that we have to discuss? I don't understand why everything sports related has to be so. It gets held put to such a pedestal when it's just a goddamn game. Like, this doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be so, like, honorable or whatever. We come up with all this trivial bullshit and act like it's such an important thing. And it is, it's important in a certain sense. Like, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're very much into hockey, very passionate about hockey. The two other guys I'm talking with right now are also very passionate about it. So are all the people playing the game and all the fans watching the game. That's not what I'm talking about with it not meaning anything. I just mean in, like, the grand scheme of things, you think when, like, 100,000 people in this country are dying or have died, and it's like, I think there are over 350,000 people worldwide have died in the middle of a pandemic. You think maybe one time, just one time in our lives, we could get like a minute, just a little bit of perspective and be like, you know what? Yeah, that just give us hockey. I don't care how you do it. Just give us something to watch. Give us something to talk about other than the news that's been wildly depressing for the last 2 to 3 months.
I don't understand the people who are questioning the format. I understand the people who are questioning the logistics of actually bringing it back or not.
Yeah, like, that's
like I totally that's the debate that should be happening. Not like what format they should bring it back in, but like if they should, how they bring it back does not matter to me in the slightest. If they're bringing it back, bring it back.
Yeah, I honestly feel like they should have brought all 31 teams back. I mean,
not the Red Wings. Let the Red Wings just be in peace.
Absolutely,
they got eliminated 3 months ago. Now they let them have their season. They're done.
Yeah, let them have their first round pick. That Lafreniere guy who is not Sidney Crosby and not Connor McDavid. So I'm fine. But yeah, like I don't get why there has to be so much back and forth about just so. I don't even know what the word for it is. It's just annoyed the hell out of me. Like, why do you care so much? Like, hockey could have brought back they could have brought back all 31 NHL teams and thrown in a few AHL teams just for fun and see what the hell happens. Maybe crown the Chicago Wolves as the Stanley Cup champions. I don't give a shit. Just give me something to watch and hope in the next couple of months. I don't really care about the that side of the logistics portion of it. Because we talked about this at the top. I can't really watch any more classic games. Like, I know everything that happened in 2010 and 2013 and 2015 and even 2011 and 2014 when they didn't win the cup and 2012 as well. Like, I got my Blackhawks nostalgia kick. I'm overdosing on nostalgia right now. I don't need any more nostalgia. I would like to have something to watch if it's possible, and it seems like they're working towards that. But the fact that anybody would care about and the other side of this coin is if you're a team like, say, the Edmonton Oilers, and you can't beat the Chicago Blackhawks in a 5-game series, you tell me you're gonna beat Vegas too, you're gonna beat Colorado, or God forbid the St. Louis Blues. I have to use them in that kind of regard, which pains me to say, but how If you can't beat the Chicago Blackhawks in a 5-game series, especially this version of the Chicago Blackhawks, how would you beat any actually good NHL team in a 7-game series?
McDavid and Draisaitl go off after having a slow series against the Blackhawks because Corey Crawford shut them down?
Well, if Corey Crawford shuts them down, then Edmonton goes home, and then the Hawks go on to the next round.
Yeah. But, like, that's how they would – like, if they perform poorly against the Blackhawks, that's how they'd beat the Golden Knights.
Oh, you're bringing logic into this situation?
Yes.
Thank
that,
you.
That the Blackhawks, again, in my opinion, have the best playoff goaltender in the league. And that like they could have a poor showing out of the gate, but still win in five games.
I had that idea hit me last night, and I wrote the thing. And then, like, I remember just, like, during the day, like, just thinking of every now and then I would think about it. Like, why is this something that people care about? Why is this the problem? Like, this ain't the problem. Everything else is the problem right now. We don't need to worry about, like, and obviously, yeah, I'm slightly biased. I get to watch the Blackhawks again. I don't know. But I also didn't pick them to make the playoffs, although maybe they're not in the playoffs. I don't care. Playoff. I said that earlier. I don't care. I'm done doing the semantics thing. Just give me something to watch. If it's only three games and the Hawks get swept, well, I don't think any of us are going to be surprised by that. If they win, they knock off Edmonton and then somehow win the round after that, I'll have a great time. Brandon, you've been awfully quiet. Do you have anything else to add to this?
I can totally understand people being concerned and whatever about their like safety aspect of it. But as far as like the format in general and getting like live sport back, then that's where you lose me. Because if the goal is you want the sport to be back and being played, then bring it back, reduce the games, but also like have it to where teams can start and it's not like preseason play, because that's the worst. That's what you don't want to happen.
And it's, at least it's not bringing the regular season back to fully complete it like they were originally planning.
Yeah, like that ship sailed a while ago. I'm glad that they gave up.
That was an insane plan.
Yeah, it just didn't seem logical anymore. And like there's seen some concern about the next season. Like, well, first off, the next season probably isn't going to start in September, or excuse me, when the NHL season usually starts in October. I don't even know if you could say it like that. That feels like even such a hypothetical that if they announced yesterday that we're going to stop everything right now, we're not going to award the Stanley Cup, we're going to focus on next season, we'll do the draft in June, we'll have free agency July 1st. There's no guarantee you would even get the start date of October that you usually get for the next hockey season. So the fact that I like the idea that they're just saying, to hell with the next season, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, let's have this tournament now, get this season done, and then we'll figure that out when we get there. And I think that's a very good idea, because there's no telling. I mean, there's not even a guarantee that this is going to happen. And then even if it gets started, there's no guarantee it'll finish, because there's no guarantee that we won't have to go back into some phase one of the plans that they were talking about, where I think everyone's on like phase two, three, or four at this point. So everything's up in the air. So just let it happen. Like, just let it go. It's going to be okay. I promise.
Just let it sit there. It's not going to do anything bad.
Exactly. It's like, it's not like, because this format has been unveiled, it's not like the Blackhawks got better in the last 3 months.
Well, you know? They got healthier, and okay, I think that's the case for every team. The Blues got Vladimir Tarasenko back.
I was got Tarasenko back. I think Doug Hamilton's going to be back in Carolina. Like, a lot of teams are going to get guys back that they weren't expecting to have back. So,
but then that's also the fact of like, how good are they when they come back?
Yeah, and I don't think the Hawks magically added another top four defenseman in the last 3 months. And Calvin DeHaan might be good, but even Calvin DeHaan probably doesn't solve all the problems that team has. So the playoffs are still going to be, they're going to have the play-in round, then they're going to have four rounds of hockey like they've always had. It's going to be an incredible grind. It's going to be insanely difficult for anybody to win. The best team will probably come out on top at the end. So who gives a shit how you start? Because I don't really care what A is, because Z is going to be a similar product as it is every other year, and where it's going to be the most likely the best well-rounded team is going to win the cup, because that's the way that's what the playoffs do. They determine, they eliminate everybody else because they don't have enough depth to carry them as far as the playoffs need, as far as you need to go in the playoffs. I think that makes sense. I don't know. I might just have to edit that out. Who knows?
In 2013, everyone said that whoever wins that Cup and the lockout year will be the best team, and it's going to be pretty convincing. And that's what the Blackhawks were. And I think for this season's Cup and the next season, people will look back and say that whichever teams won those Cups were really coached well, without a doubt. Like, and those were solid teams. So I think now it looks a little fuzzy and you don't know what's going to happen, but say 10 years from now, when you look back at these, this season and the next season, you're going to be like, those two teams really did the damn thing.
They deserve to be there.
Well, I don't like using the word deserve.
Okay. That's they
a bunch of hockey malarkey.
Maybe they earned the right to be there.
That's the same sentiment, I think.
I think so. But I just – so, like, whenever we talk about this, if one of you guys says, well, all they need is a goalie to get hot, I'm probably going to slap you. Because I feel like that's just, like, a stupid hockey cliche.
Yeah, like
– I'm not
That's an outsider hockey cliche.
Yeah, like, that'll get you maybe a round. Maybe two if you're really lucky.
Well, if people donated $10 to a COVID-19 relief fund – every single time that someone said that, I feel like we could raise a lot of money.
That is a very, like, I feel like every broadcast on NBC Sports says that. Every pregame show. Mike Milbury will say that at least 300 times in the month of July.
And then he'll say, screw the virus.
And then he'll
say, Mike Milbury shouldn't be on TV.
Well, that's another story for him. I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, Shepard, but. So while we're on the topic of this whole playoff thing, I wanted to bring this up, and this was kind of a late addition to the agenda, so I apologize to the two gentlemen with me, but I'm sure you guys will come up with your usual dulcet tones of brilliant thoughts on this topic. What do you think is the better thing for the Blackhawks to do? Bow out in the play-in series and get back into the draft lottery, or actually win a playoff round or two and get some postseason experience for the younger guys on the team? I know my answer, so Shepard, I'll let you go first.
The problem is I want to see what the younger guys who don't have playoff experience do in the playoffs.
Exactly.
If all of a sudden Alex DeBrincat comes out and he's broken his curse this season, he's shooting 30%, I want to watch him play playoff experience. If he comes back in the usual form he had this regular season and he's shooting 12.5% or something like that or lower, then get him out.
Get rid of him?
No.
Oh,
then
okay.
get the Blackhawks out of the playoffs and into the draft lottery.
Okay,
I don't want to shatter our goal scorer's confidence.
Okay, Brandon, what about you? Do you have any thought on that?
Either shit the bed against the Oilers, or go and win the play-in round and the next round. If they win the play-in round and then lose, that's going to be like that murky feeling like, ah, well, they fucked it up.
Yeah.
But if they just lose outright or they win at least one round in the actual, quote, playoffs, then I feel like a lot of people will have a better feeling and acceptance of it that they didn't get a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Because who knows, like, how I feel like people view the lottery different because the Blackhawks jumped up 9 spots last year, where the year before they dropped 1 spot. So yeah. People's conception of what the lottery is a little skewed. Yeah. And they think, oh, like, they'll just go up. And then there's the whole national narrative, like, oh, of course Chicago will jump up. It's like, well, they're not great. Like, that 6-year, 7-year window where they were the darlings of the NHL isn't a thing anymore.
And also, they were the darlings of the NHL because they won all the damn time. And also, they were the opposite. I don't know what the opposite word for darling is, but they were the opposite of darlings of the NHL for about a decade before that. So,
right.
It all evens out.
Yeah. Peaks and valleys. It ends up in the middle. Yeah.
At least Detroit is shit.
At least Detroit sucks, right? But I, like, you might have heard me pound my fist and pound at the desk here in agreement with Shepard, but I am absolutely on board with wanting to see what some of the Blackhawks younger players can do in the playoffs. We have talked, I feel like this is something I have done before, but as I'm scrolling down the Blackhawks roster, like starting to look at the guys on this roster that actually have Stanley Cup playoff experience, or like just
the,
like
the older guys.
Yeah, it's Kane, Saad, Andrew Shaw, who might not be playing hockey anymore, and Taves, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, who's injured. Saad's got a cup. Saad's got two. Crawford's got two. That's it. Olimata won in Pittsburgh, but
twice.
And DeHaan's been in the playoffs with the Hurricanes and went deep.
But I mean, Kirby Dach never played in the playoffs. Alex DeBrincat hasn't. Dominic Kubalik has it. Adam Boqvist hasn't. Nicholas Bowden hasn't. Connor Murphy hasn't. Connor Murphy hasn't played a playoff game, right?
Correct.
Yeah, he was in Arizona.
He's been in Arizona.
Yeah,
and then he came here.
Yeah. Slater Cuckoo was on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
He didn't.
I don't think he played.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think he has a career playoff game.
I do want to say that if the Hawks were to somehow win this thing, the celebration of Olimata would be something to behold. Because
I also think it'd firmly get Corey Crawford into the Hall of Fame, because if the Blackhawks win this thing, he is coming away with that Conn Smythe.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way,
but Slater the Cuckoo, thing about Olimata is
like Slater Cuckoo did play 10 playoff games in the 2016 playoffs. So just making sure we're fact checking ourselves. Brandon, go ahead.
Okay, the thing with Olimata is when he won in Pittsburgh, there were shots of their TV station people. Like, they were taking helicopters around the city, and I guess at his apartment or wherever he was staying, he was just passed out drunk on the balcony. And I was like,
good for
God,
him.
Like, just that visual, like, scattered across Chicago of him just, like, completely knocked out would just be something to behold, and people would be like, oh, like, he might be slow, but he's just a really good drinker, and I can respect that.
He's a darling boy. Yeah.
I mean, who among us wouldn't do the same thing if they won the Stanley Cup? Come on. The thing that you said about – ever since you started on that tangent, Brandon, I've spent the last however long it's been just imagining the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup. And it's just such a tasty thought. Like, could you imagine?
No.
No. Again, I maybe, if Corey Crawford just plays Corey Crawford hockey, and it's like
if Calvin DeHaan comes back and is the second coming of Nicklas Hjalmarsson, and then you pair him up with Adam Boqvist, and that's the perfect pairing of a offensive-minded guy and a defensive-minded guy, and then you put Keith and Murphy together, and they play really well, and then they rework the thing with Ian Mitchell, and he's allowed to play, and then he turns into Cale Makar. Because I think we've talked about this before, like, they have pretty good forward depth if everyone plays to their potential, which I guess is saying Alex DeBrincat breaks out of his slump. Like, there's, like, a list of, like, 20 to 30 things that all need to go right if the Blackhawks are just going to win, like, a couple playoff rounds, let alone get to the Cup. But that's not going to stop me from pretending that they're all going to happen just for a little bit, just for fun, because that's why I watch sports. And I feel like if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't at least somewhat somewhere deep inside your mind with all the free time that you and I all have right now, haven't at least done a 5-second entertaining the notion of what it'd be like if the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, I don't know why you watch sports.
Also, if the Blackhawks go to the second round of the playoffs, just don't lose to the St. Louis Blues, please.
Just don't play the Blues in the playoffs. Let's not do that again.
If they lose to Vegas, perfectly fine. That's understandable. they do that all the time. If they lose to the Blues, that's unacceptable.
They can lose to Vegas. They can lose to Colorado. They can lose to Dallas. They can lose to Winnipeg. Like, there's a lot of teams, pretty much anybody but St. Louis. I just don't have to deal with that again. What if the Hawks and Canucks met in the playoffs? That'd be fun.
It wouldn't be quite
as entertaining as it was a decade ago.
I mean, there's fun players on the Vancouver Canucks. Quinn Hughes is going to win the Calder.
Over Dominic Kubalik, damn it.
Because John Marino doesn't get respect.
Yeah, right.
Because John Marino is, what, 22 and Quinn Hughes is 19?
Something like that. Quinn Hughes also went to that one school to play hockey, so we don't acknowledge him.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I think it was kind of funny when we started talking about recording this for about an hour ago. I don't think any of us had really any idea what we're going to talk about because we approached much of the Blackhawks Oilers subject last week. And then when they confirmed the news, they're like, oh shit, what do we talk about on the podcast? But we made it work for 45 minutes or however long this went. So good job, guys. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Golf clap?
Yeah, golf clap. Whatever. But Shepard, Brandon, any final thoughts as we wrap up this here episode of Musings on Madison?
I really want to watch Brandon Saad shadow Connor McDavid in that line because that he did so well in the regular season.
So you put Brandon Saad, David Kampf, and who else? Kajula?
Probably, yeah. Kajula is McDavid's best friend, so he probably understands his game better than anybody else.
Because, like, if you know, we'll get into matchup stuff later. Since it, you know, I think maybe once it gets a little closer to more of a tangible – tangible is not the right word. When it gets closer to coming to fruition of – I guess maybe when they get to training camp is when we'll start talking about actual matchups and such. But, you know, if you get a line with David Kampf for one kind of checking line, you take another line with Taves – and give him some two-way wingers and maybe match him against Draisaitl. And then you let Patrick Kane skate against whoever else they're going to put on the other two lines. It's not the worst thing in the world. And if the Edmonton happens to put McDavid and Draisaitl on the same line, then I feel like the Hawks have a much better chance in that series than I would have initially thought. So yeah. Brandon, what about you? Any final words on this here episode?
Nothing hockey related, but just don't be an asshole. Be nice to people.
There you go. I could not have said it better myself. So, yeah, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening to Musings on Madison. We appreciate everyone's listening and has been following along with us during this quarantine. And it seems like we're getting closer and closer to actual hockey, and that's, I think, exciting for everyone involved. So stay tuned to this year's episode. I'm sure we'll start talking more about hockey as it looks like it gets closer to us on the horizon. We'll have plenty of content popping up at secondcityhockey.com between now and then. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Follow us on Twitter, you know, follow, give us a good review on iTunes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, all those cool social media things. You want to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That'd be wonderful. But yeah, I think that'll do it. For Brandon, for Shepard, I'm Dave. We'll see you next time, and go on.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.